The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You are part of our 600,000 listening level, American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
American Muslim 360 is, we will never quit. American Muslim 360 is number one Muslim radio station.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal from the Halal Industry, Do For Self. I'd like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Thank you all that take the time to listen, to be on AM360 to catch the different programs, and I'm especially thankful for those who will get a chance to hear this, of course. We'd like to introduce to you the Halal Industry in a form different, still having to deal with the normal thought of halal industry, but different in the sense that we are working to build through ourselves a better understanding of what is halal to get the maximum amount of success from our own actions, which Allah rewards all of us. If it's one of us, He rewards us. If it's many of us, He rewards us even greater. Our numbers multiply the goodness that is necessary. So when we look at even things that are pointed to us in the scripture or the statement, a mercy to humanity. When we do the right things and Allah reward us, part of the reward is a visual, so to speak, to the world that's looking to see, okay, they've been blessed. And it's a reminder to the Muslims who slipped off, who fell off the way, to get back to what you know is best. At least just because Islam has been around the world before it came to America, to us, we can't think that we can't enhance its growth, because there's also an ayah that Allah says in the Quran, if you don't do what you're supposed to do with it, I'll give it to another people. Meaning I'll give you the example back, not them getting the example from you, but you'll be now getting the example from another people. That another people today is us, as Americans, descendants of slaves. Do that mean we know everything? No, no. It's just sometimes a reminder. Sometimes you be going somewhere, you could be driving down the street, and somebody in the car may say something to show you, they may not necessarily know where you're going, but they may say something about the area you're driving through to remind you of something that you forgot about in the area. So it's like that in the sense that the life of the deen, submission to Allah's will. Most people, and I say this many times, most people of other nationalities don't want to see us, the descendant of slaves, African American, descendant of slaves, on top or above them, or shining better than them. Not shining in the sense that you're showing off, but meaning that, in other words, they believe many times they know more than us. Caucasian spirit is not always, well, they think we're going to attack them if they get big. No, it's just the jealousy of how did we get up so fast? Well, it wasn't fast. It was 400 and some years, but nonetheless, we're still struggling with it. But all help, as Imam Kareem often say, all help comes from Allah. Everything that we do, everything comes from Allah. How we utilize it gives us either the blessing, the reward, or it gives us the punishment. That's not what we want, the punishment. So we have to take this life that Allah has given, that it states that you'll be asked by the angels. What did you have this? Did anybody advise you? And what did you do with it? So some of us could say, I was waiting to be taught better. That's why we all got a Quran in the language that we can understand it. The Quran itself is not a book that is locked into Arabic, say, where you get the best meaning from the Arabic. That depends on the Arabic given to us, and I don't mean the Arabic word, the one, the person giving it to us with the right intention. You can tell somebody a truth, but give it to them in a way that they go down the wrong road. They go and take what you said because they believed in you, and you know you didn't give them the whole picture. So Allah says that I made you different. Your language is different. There's a reason for that. Because loving God, loving yourself, loving your people, loving humanity, loving the life that you got, wanting to live good, wanting to live right is in every language. Revelation is in every language. Allah hears everything, knows everything. You can't say something. You can't even say a slang. He didn't know that slang was going to be there. He knows everything we do. And everything that we do, there's the possibility of us getting stronger or straight in a way that our people get stronger. Be the example. Well, you know, let's just look at the TV for a minute. Once upon a time, those of some age, and when you look back at older movies, you can see this, all the women dressed in long garments covering themselves, and they covered their neck and even covered their head. I don't care if they was in the dusty cowboy areas. They did that. In the city areas, they did the same thing. And they depict what looked like was not becoming for a good society by the way they dressed. They had the hookers in the saloons if it was a cowboy picture, in the bars or clubs, doing the dancing and going around speaking to the men, the single men or the men that were married that was acting like they were single. The projection was, back then, you never seen nobody go in the bedroom and complete what goes on in the bedroom between a husband and a wife. These days, you see everything if you go to that type movie, if you go to that type show. And that's something that you and I, we should have control of. Oh, just that means a lot. Because as Brother Imam Kareem said before the last program went off, he stated, it's visual, meaning people learn from what they see. Islam is something practiced, but the deep sincerity of it, you don't see until the person develop it as a style, so to speak, for anybody to see with their own eyes. So in the days of the Nation of Islam, we had our blue uniform with red and white. Our sisters was dressed, garbed in white, and it looked pretty. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he do blue because blue is not it don't give you the true makeup. Not saying it ain't a true color, but he said he used it. It was those of us that was back then, we've heard him say, or heard a minister repeating him saying that, or some brother who had been around for a minute or two that knew that information. But it was beautiful to see the brothers in uniform. Muhammad's army, we used to call ourselves. And the sisters looking beautiful as flowers, not with all the colors, in white. But it just looked so pristine. It looked so precious. So all of this that was done was visual to touch our people. And throughout the week, when we wasn't necessarily wearing our uniforms, or the sisters didn't dress in white every day. They did most of the time, but not every day. They were able to change up. But we looked like business people. So the visual was, here go old Joe, here go old Harry, here go old Jim, who used to stand on the corner and drink and talk. Now he's standing up. Right? You seen him lately? He's clean shaved. His haircut is nice. He done took all that conchaline out where he used to wear the process, like James Brown or one of the other entertainers. Now he got a suit on. I ain't never seen him in a suit before. But he got a suit on. And he's going around talking about this Muhammad stuff, that we should read a paper from Muhammad or something to that effect. Those who didn't know what it was saying, they might have said Muslims or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is they saw a distinct difference. The visual was there. So today, even in the final question before going about President Biden's request on some things and the people of Interfaith going to talk to him, we got to give our people a visual picture. The government can help finance it, and sometimes that's a handicap. And when I say it's a handicap, is because some people will do something to get the money. We're supposed to be looking in our community and doing something because we don't like the way it looks and we want to change it. And no price can be given to us to make us hold up until we get the money. No reason for us to wait till the money comes. Formulate yourself as a group. Do the work. Then put in for grants. If you get them, you get them. But grants usually work in a way to say, you did the work already, now we're going to give you some money. And how do you prove you did the work? They could see something cleaned up in the neighborhood, and you got a record of it. Usually that's why they tell you to have everybody come in and sign. So it shows that, no, he got proof. He talked to these people, and we could see a difference in his or her neighborhood. So this is, to me, naturally halal and naturally belonging in the family of industry. Getting busy. Industry is getting busy to improve. You know, there's an industry to destroy, but that ain't what we're talking about. Somebody already did that. Somebody, when they put ghost guns in our neighborhood, think about that, ghost guns. You can see the gun, but it don't work. You can buy 100 of them. We got a state rep who's fighting against guns, young brother, 33 years old, 34, 2 days ago. He's fighting to stop the guns in the neighborhood. He went to places to get his proof. He went to gun sales. He went and seen you could buy 100 ghost guns. And no question is asked. Why? They can't fire him. They can't shoot. But you get some information when you buy the ghost gun from these same sellers. What information you get? You got 100. First of all, why do a person need 100 guns, working or not working? So you got 100 guns. They don't work. They paid for. Police could stop them and see. He got a receipt for them. They're not working, so they could take them home. But why is he taking them home? Because he's also going to give them the information on how to go online and buy the parts. It's not illegal to buy the parts, the gun, to make it work. And from my best of understanding that I got from the young brother, the state rep here in Philadelphia, the gun is not with an ID on it, with a number, a serial number. So I could take that gun that can't shoot, or my young family members can take that gun that don't shoot and go online and buy a part to make it shoot. I can shoot somebody down, wipe my prints off it, throw it away, and some of them probably even leave the prints on it, but either way, throw it away. The police could find it and know that maybe that's the gun. I'm not sure if they did something to the barrel as well to make it so you can't tell if the bullet came from there. But maybe they find out it's the gun, but they can't trace it to no one. They can't even trace it to the person that sell it because it has no numbers on it. It has no identification on it. Who created that devilishment? The same people, some of the same people that we are thinking is going to help us improve our life. So I'm speaking to the industry and to Halal a little different today. Same thing in my mind, but I'm saying that let us uncover some things. So we can ask ourselves, why should there be an industry appealing to us? Because they benefit. So that gun industry, you know, NRA, they allow this to be done. They're not our guardians. And imagine, you know, they're saying some of these police officers that did the killing of blacks, just shooting them down, are those who infiltrated a good to do a bad. What's the good? The police department is supposed to be good. We should respect the police officer. They're peacemakers. They're not coming in our neighborhood just to kill us. But there were some infiltrators that went in, and their background is supposed to be clannish, like the Ku Klux Klan party or something to that effect. I can't prove it. I'm only going by what's said on the news. I could believe it. Sounds like something that would be done, hiding behind something good to do your dirt. And they can get on the force and they can kill some of us. Because they got the badge on, nobody's going to suspect nothing. But look how many people have been killed. And we've seen them on tape. Just think they didn't have a phone. I mean, nobody had a movie of it, a picture that they could show. How many of them would have been killed and they couldn't tell us, even though we might have known it was a righteous boy or a righteous girl? Nobody could prove to us that they didn't do something wrong, because, see, the police wouldn't just shoot you just because you're black. Police officer wouldn't. A good human being wouldn't just shoot you because you're black. But we've seen that over the last couple of years. The brother that was running track, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, running down the road, but he's just exercising. And the guys in the truck came down and shot him down and everything like that. We've seen all this ugly stuff. There was a birth to an industry of breaking the rules, breaking all the rules. That's not halal. And we could stop it just by being halal in our thinking. So these guns was put in our neighborhood because somebody said, let them kill themselves. You know, you've seen it on the movie Godfather. They said, well, they're animals anyway. Let them destroy themselves. When they're talking about putting the dope in our neighborhood. We don't have those possibilities. When these things come in our neighborhood, we as a people don't, the smartest of us, don't have those possibilities. Someone have to give it to us. We wasn't growing drugs of any type. Somebody had to give it to us. Even the thought of growing reefer and making it legal to use. And to the Muslim, he got to say, I don't use it anyway, even if it's a medicine. Because my Lord said, don't become intoxicated. And we know a lot of people say they got a medical problem and ain't been to the doctor. But they just wanted the excuse for the reefer. I don't believe people, if they got a few pieces of this stuff and they get locked up, they should be getting a lot of, well, matter of fact, shouldn't even probably get locked up for what they found with sometime. But that's the society that preys on us. And in them preying on us, we lose when we don't have to lose. We don't have to find ourselves doing anything in error. But we find it when others say or do to us things that they shouldn't do. So I want to take a break right here.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation.
As-salamu alaykum. I'd like to read the 42nd chapter of the Quran, verse 26. And he listens to those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and gives them increase of his bounty. But for the unbelievers, there's a terrible penalty. Allah listens to the prayers of the righteous. He gives them of his bounty beyond their desires. Every time they do good, Allah will increase in their goodness. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, once again, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal. With the halal industry, do for self. So I was saying, there are those who put things, they have an industry of corruption. Corruption falls into an industry also. And we don't have to say the Satan, the Shaitan, the devil. These are human beings, just in case those words don't work for you. These are human beings with the thought to put something in our neighborhood. Why not if the gun owners, the gun makers, ammunition sellers and things of this nature. If their will is good, why would you put something on the market, period? Any gun show. Why would you put anything on the market that would be used in a way that you know will be criminal? People are not supposed to have a gun. And if they have a gun, they should have a license that they got a gun. And if they want to carry it, they should have a permit to carry it. Otherwise, they should have a job that calls for you to carry a weapon, or you're in the military that calls for you to carry a weapon on certain times for the military. Police officers, certain guards, et cetera, they carry them regularly. FBI, you know, maybe CIA, I don't know. They have their times that they carry their weapons. Times they don't. Got something to do with their job. But who would think of selling hundreds of guns at a time to particularly young blacks to take those guns back in their neighborhood that can't be traced, that a person could kill their neighbor and the gun can't be traced back to them? No, it's better even if they're going to do the killing, that we at least got a license number. The authorities can at least figure out how did this bullet travel through the barrel in its marking to say what gun it came out. All these things are important for us to look at. This is not a human society that we're living in of certain leaders. I'm not talking about all leaders. I'm not classifying any body of people as just being all devilish. We came through that process. That process was to get our thinking straight, to get us to do what we need to do for ourselves and don't trust others to do it for us. You know, the white man is the devil. Or as the Panthers might have said, the pigs. That was a time and a process. We're beyond that. Name calling, that ain't necessary. A person do wrong, let's make sure he pay for his wrong. Well, he's a governor. Vote him out next time. That's how he pay for his wrong. Vote him out. He's a mayor. Vote him out. He's a police officer. What did he do? Take him to court. Do the things that we need to do that are halal, that makes a better society, that make the wrongdoer kind of conscious that he can't get away with his wrong. And we got wrong in all colors. You know, like going to a clothing store, a shoe store, and they said, you got this in any other color? Yeah, we got it in all colors. Same thing with crime, with wrongdoings. But the human being is created, all of them, with the same nature to serve God. So Allah says, I've created all of you Muslim. Not Muslim like we are standing going to the masjid, but every human being, every rock, every bit of air, every water flow, whatever we can think of and can't think of, God created it to submit to his will, to move when he wanted to move. Human being can't move except for when he's born. And some of the human beings come out born in a way they can't move. A sign to show that something can be affected, so scientists among us can study. There's reason why even what looked like is hurtful, there's reason why it's done. There's reasons. We make fun of it. We see somebody cross-eyed and we make fun of it, play and everything. But there's a reason to look at that. We may not be scientific enough to look at it, but there's somebody that can give some history as to what they found in their study by looking at thousands of people who have their eyes crossed. And it may have something to do with before the child is even born. It may have nothing to do with it at all. But these things, as simple as that, and that's not simple like it's nothing. That's simple in the sense the majority of us are not seeing. Like the majority of our families don't have, we don't have a brother or sister or father or mother, uncle, aunt, cousin that have that. Some families have one in the family. So these things are to be looked at. Lung disease, heart disease, blood pressure. What are we doing? And a lot of it we'll find and comes from what the marketplace sells us. But the person who want to do business has added to something to make it taste good, but it ain't good for us. Halal meat. If we were to do like some slaughterhouses and some butcher shops do, they don't care where their meat come from. They may have someone that they buy animals from that has been shot up, given needles with types of medicines or whatever they may call them that causes the animal plenty of water or get a lot of fat to be heavy, so when they sell them, they're worth more. In other words, it wasn't enough for them to weigh 2,000 pounds. They want them to weigh 3,000. So you got 1,000 pounds that's brought on by some kind of drug or something they put in the animal. And you don't know it. You know, somebody can go and slaughter their animals. I know brothers who do this. Just go somewhere and slaughter them. You ain't no scientist. You don't realize, you don't find out, is this animal proper until the skin come off. When you take the hide off, now you can see that. So we got people feel the best way to make it is by doing something wrong. As I stated, whoever took the time to make guns and shortchanged making, putting them all the way together, got all the parts but didn't put the last piece in so they could sell a bunch of them and make it known. These guns can't be traced. Many of them can't be traced. I ain't going to say no ghost gun can be traced, but many of them can't be traced. So who are these speaking to? Criminal minds. And I ain't talking about the movie. They talk about criminal minds that will actually know that I can go get a gun and kill some people. I can kill a bunch of people. We got a few people probably in every city. I know they got them here in Philly. And I know they got them, heard of them, having them in Chicago and New York. But maybe in every city, white, black, whatever, that their goal is just to be a killer. That's a killer. You know what I mean? 2 years ago, I think it was, might have been last year, one person that was like that, considered to be a killer, they found him shot up all in his car and everything. In other words, he's the type of person that you can't reason with. He liked to kill, and somebody knew it, and they said, just let's get rid of him. Now, there might have been a subtle war between two groups. But either way, this man here, we can't do what we want to do and have this guy just walking around picking people off because he do it as like he like it, almost like the guy that they say murdered my son. Okay, well, he's in jail now, no big thing. Maybe he'll change. God is the best know. Allah is the best know. So these things we have to know. What made this society the way it is? Brother, I thought you were talking about halal. I am talking about halal. You and I was given Islam for some reason. We're not talking right now why someone was given Judaism, why they was given Christianity, why was they became a Hindu or anything like that. Not down in those groups, but we're talking about how and why we became Muslim. There's a statement. We overlook it for us, for ourselves personally, but there's a statement that Allah says about the book, the Quran, and about Muhammad the Prophet, that we don't believe belong to us. It says that the book is a mercy to humanity, meaning those who take this book and live it and spread the word and be a person that people can look at and say, I like that. I like his style. I like that. I got to try to work to do that. It is a mercy to humanity. And the man that proved it could be done, Allah says, is Muhammad in him. Is the best character, not on him, not he looked like, because we got a lot of Muslims that look like they're holy, just like we did when we was in the church. We saw a lot of people look holy. I'm not a person that came through the synagogue, so I don't know. But I did come through the church, the temple, and the masjid, or some may call it the mosque. And in those three groupings, problems was in all of them. You didn't see them most of the time. But as you got older and you looked enough, you seen there were problems. Allah, God, the Creator, does not give revelation of any type for us to be the worst for humanity. He give it to us for to be the best of humanity. And even the worst person can take this revelation and live it and become one of the best people. There's a hadith that many of us probably heard the story of the brother, that the person who killed 90-something people, and he was searching. And I believe this story is colored with bias, but there's truth even in the bias. And when I say that, I'll get to that when I get to that point. It says he went to a Jewish person, a rabbi, the way I first heard it years ago. He went to a rabbi and told the rabbi, I've killed so many people. Is there anything I could do that would save me from going to hell? He said, no, so he killed him too. In other words, if it ain't nothing going to straighten me up, we're talking, you know, this goes to how to stop crime. How to stop crime in our community. This would just go to it in my mind. So the second one was a Christian preacher, minister, maybe the Pope, fell down in this. And he said, I've killed so many people, I even killed the rabbi. Then with the man, number one, he's telling the truth. He's a truthful person. I killed this many people, even a rabbi. He didn't have to tell him he just killed the last person. He didn't have to say how many, 99 people, 98 people, whatever. The Christian said, no. There ain't nothing you can do to be saved. So he killed them too. So they say next he went to a Muslim. Now I prefer to say he went to three people. But I'm telling the story as it was originally told to me and as I heard for many years. He said, the Muslim said, look, I've killed, man, I've been killing so many people, man. And I killed this number of people. I killed the rabbi, killed a bishop, a minister, a reverend, whichever. And he said, I just want to know from you, is there anything I could do to be saved? He told me, yeah, go right down the road there, stop at the masjid, ask for the imam, and he'll tell you what to do. He said, thank you, and was on his way and fell down to after his death. So it says the angels argued about this. The angel of the hellfire, let me drag him to the hellfire. The angel of the paradise said, no, he goes to the paradise. Said, no, look at his life. The angel of death for the hellfire said, look at his life. Look how he lives. He said, yeah, but the other one said, yeah, but he tried to turn around. So we give him, in other words, you get blessed for your intention if we look at it right. So anyway, they went to talk to God, the angels, the two servants. They had a dispute, and they needed the only one could settle it was Allah, God, the creator. And when they went to him, he says, which way was he going? He said he was searching to find help to stop doing what he was doing. So it says that then Allah said, go back. Remember, the angels got to travel. They don't see everything. And these two angels only see what they see. I'm the one that's taking them to hell, and I'm the one taking them to the gates of paradise. So, okay. He said, this is what it says in that story. And Allah said to them, go back and see what is he closest to, where he came from or where he's going. Meaning, is he closer to where he just committed the murder, which would have been to the place of the last person he talked to, or is he closer to where he was going to save himself? So it says while they were traveling back, remember they don't see anything, it says that Allah, now all that ain't in it, that's my thinking, they don't see anything. This is, I believe this is what Allah wants us to see, the whole picture. If we're going to take a story, I don't care who give you the story, take the whole picture. So it says Allah moved the body. Now Allah didn't have to move. Allah willed that the body be moved closer to where it was going. So in other words, so that person could be forgiven for all his errors, all his sins, including the murder of the last two religious people, and be given forgiveness and mercy and put into the paradise. Something for us, our neighborhood, our young brothers and sisters, our children, our grandchildren, our grandparents, our parents, to those who are fit in that role, brothers and sisters, friends, people we don't know, are threatened in our community because someone planned to kill us off. Kill who off? Right now they look like us, the African Americans. But they'll do it to all people of color after all people of color would let themselves live loose like that. Then they'll do all to themselves. If it was all Caucasian, they'd be killing each other. Don't think this is just something that don't think it's just something that could be done. And it won't affect white folks. It affects them too. They kill each other too. And they don't need ghost guns. You heard about some of them killing their loved ones and then go out and find others to kill. We know of them going in a church and killing people over the years, not just these last times. Going back, setting people on fire for no reason. So humanity need a mercy. So Allah gave the deen, saying it like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, this is not a religion. This is the way of life for humanity. But some of us to be the one to be the example of that life. So our neighborhood, once upon a time, had Muslims walking armed up. We call them bullets, the Muhammad speaks. You got your bullets, brother. Don't forget to get your bullets. I'll pick you up in a little bit. All right. We going out and work in the field, and we talk to our people. We had to beat up some, no question about that, beat up some police officers. Not hide and beat them up. They attacked or they did something wrong. I told you all about the story, the two police officers that urinated on Temple No. 12 at headquarters. They running down the street with their guns on, badges on, calling for the police. They got their butt whooped so bad. We can stop a lot of things, including the police thinking that they can kill. Look, there's somebody among us, the people, the humanity, that would see that ugly character and they would remove it themselves. They'll allow it themselves. Everybody ain't got an arm up to stop stop the police from being stupid. No, we want the police department to do what they're supposed to do. We need a police department. But check yourself, and if you don't, then let us unite and see if that don't check them. That'll check them. You know, to do crime, everybody got to do crime in the dark. Somebody said, no, brother, man. People do crime in the daytime. No, they do it in the dark. The sun is out, the light's on, but it's still in the dark. They got somebody not looking, not paying attention, not seeing, not being careful. And in the dark time for them, these criminals, whoever they may be, whatever they do, small or great, they attack. So we got to stop letting our community be in the dark. We got to talk to our people. The president can't stop the killing in the neighborhood. He could put money towards it, which is what a lot of people want, and that's good. All that's good. All that's necessary. We don't want him to stop doing what he needs to do. We want those who go and talk to him, and it shouldn't be just faith-based, because a lot of faith-based people don't know really how to stop the things on the street. They're just the leaders. We got some brothers in Philadelphia, and I'm probably sure that they got them in every city, every large city, that been to prison, cleaned up their life, that can still talk to young people. When we stopped crime back in the 60s and 70s, it was Muslims, but there was also some non-Muslims involved. And when they got involved, we got involved with the people that understand. See, young people, just like us, we listening to each other on AM 360s and other times, read the Muslim Journal, we read the Quran. We know who know what we know. Understand that. We know who know what we know. They don't have to know exactly the same word. An Arab brother can come over to talk to us, and there are a few of us, too many, but it's still a few, that will take what an Arab brother will say over what one of us would say, because we're African-American descendants of slaves. You know, just a repeat of white folks colder than ours, or ISIS colder than ours. So we got Muslims who say people from other nations, particularly Arabs, but the prophet was born among the Arabs. That's not no specialty. The prophet is the specialty, but that ain't no specialty for them as a people. That wasn't a blanket that Allah gave them and said, all of them, no. And they're going to do right. No, no. If they were to do right, they'd come over humble and see how they can help. And I don't mean like some brothers want them to come help with their money. But I don't even believe they got all the money that they say. Yeah, it's a place that got plenty, but so does America. There's not a part of the earth probably that doesn't yield something for the humanity to grow and be wealthy with. So we have to look at God. We have to remember, when we look at people because of their race and we put them in a God status as if they could do but we can't do. No, Allah says, I created man. Or I'm making a man, as Imam Muhammad reminded us. Adam wasn't the complete man. The complete picture of the man was Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. So says my Imam, your Imam, Imam Muhammad. I accept that. The complete picture got the Quran. The complete picture wasn't walking in the garden in the dark and could have been tricked. The complete picture got the Quran. Somebody say, well, how about the Bible? I said Quran. Don't mean that you don't need the Bible if that's what you got right now. But like me, I knew the Bible and I believe in the Bible. There's nothing in the Quran that tells us to get away from believing that the Bible exists, that the Christians exist. Nearest to you in faith is the Christian. For a couple of reasons. One, they hear you speaking of your Lord, tears come to their eyes because they hear the truth and they love the truth. All Christians? No. All Muslims? No. All Jews? No. Amen, Muhammad. You know, was so clear on that message. You know what I mean? That, no, he started off speaking about the Jew, the Christian, but he said, and also from the Muslims is the same thing. So we have to see. We got a job, particularly in this day and time, not Muslims across the world, the descendants of slaves here in America, called many times African-American, have been called colored, have been called Negro. It took us to get into the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad before black could even be accepted, deep into the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, before black can be accepted. And as Imam Muhammad said, seemed like since he died, everybody going crazy with black, the black everything, black talk show, black paper, store, black. Okay, it's nice. But are you really black for the right reason, if that's what you're going to use? But the black he was talking about was productive, was industrious. The black he was talking about took people who couldn't read and made them business worthy. What did they sell? Papers. Basically, papers with a message. What did they do? They cleaned up their life. The business of that industry worked. The people wanted to do better. They saw themselves in a better situation. They knew that they could do something for themselves. But yet we're here, 2021. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad time was 19, as the leader, 1930 to 1975. Nice amount of time, but he ain't here no more. And he had far less than we have. And we are reverting back to putting in our messages and everything. Our brothers from over the East, don't blame them, blame ourselves. Yes, they should come and help. You speak all Arabic, brother, since you was born Arab? Yes, I haven't lost anything. Would you teach class? Not get on the roster. Would you teach class? Some of our children, some of our young, some of our middle-aged people, some of our seniors want to learn Arabic. Will you teach class? No, he want to teach all of us. He want to lead. No. You don't know this terrain. Terrain meaning when we was in Vietnam, we had to learn it. When I went to Vietnam, they put me in the field the first day. I'm supposed to learn off of the people who had been there for years before me. And I learned from them. And then one day, some had to learn from me because I knew what the field looked like now. I knew you don't walk out in the brushes just like that without sending some kind of signal that will bring out your enemy, or else you'll wind up dead. In America, our young, I haven't heard of Juma, and I'm not down in the imams. The Jumas was, you know, they're all right, but they don't fit us. That's not halal. That's definitely dislike, but almost could be haram. You got somebody talking to you, and they can't relate. They can't take that Quran and relate to where we living at now. Honorable Elijah Muhammad couldn't read Arabic, but he was able to take the message of Quran, take the message that Dr. Farad, Master Farad, gave him, and make it relate to us as a people to elevate ourselves. Get up and do it yourself. Do something for yourself. Create business for yourself. I mean, you know, was any blacks thinking like that? I'm sure there was some. They would often say they either had to come from Noble Drew Ali here in Philadelphia. Noble Drew Ali, Father Divine, Daddy Grace, Elijah Muhammad. And they even said Farad Muhammad sat in the class of Noble Drew Ali. No problem. I ain't got no problem with that. I believe people of insight will sit with people of insight. I don't have no problem, but I do know this. None of them, including Farad Muhammad, he get an A because he taught the teacher of us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But none of them touched what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to do by the permission of Allah. None of them. So we need to look at the trainer, the master teacher, for us, and see what was his key, unite us together as one in order to build this industry that's needed for our people, that will be actually an industry built for humanity, a mercy for humanity. We need to first be united. Just because I'm a finger, don't act like I ain't important. Take your finger off and see if you can pick up many things. Especially try to pick up some little things like stick pens and bobby pens, or you might not even can pick up a ruler. You can't pick up no paper. Lightweight things that think about how many things we could take for granted that we just do every day. I can pick up a piece of dust because I got fingers. And I not only got fingers, I got three parts to every one of them. We dicker on them. We do dicker. Think how many people ain't got no fingers, can't dicker from their fingers. We take a bicker from something else, but that, look at the mercy on that, just being able to walk up and down your fingers three times and Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah. Allah has built for us a picture in us. Look, Muhammad, so says Jibril, into the creation. And Allah says also, look into yourself. It's one. It's built by the same creator. And the unity you see in the universe, the peaceful universe, you're supposed to see in yourself. And when you see it in yourself, you're supposed to see it in your family. And when you see it in your family, you're supposed to see it in your people. And when you see it in your people, you're supposed to see it in humanity. If we do all of that, without all the steps in our head, we don't have to know all the steps. But if we begin to do that and recognize the blessings and go for halal the way it should be, meaning I'm halal first, every individual. Some of us, since Imam Muhammad came into office, we heard him use curse words, and he was frustrated for a while. And if you remember, he said, I got to stop that. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had it where we wouldn't use baby talk. And we got the new Muslims that come in cover up from head to toe. Some of them raise their pants up. You can hear them cursing from distance, drinking under the kneecap. I've seen this. You know what I mean? The face covering, just in case I said it wrong. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is, we, the followers, once upon a time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have a beat up, meaning a good start, on many people. And those who stayed close to Imam Muhammad in the teaching, I don't mean physically stayed close. You might not have even got a chance to visit him that much, but stayed into his teachings. And don't forget, the Quran is first. Imam Muhammad's teaching is not first. The Quran is first, then his teaching. And for me, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is like my spiritual mother. You get everything from your mother first, all the disciplines. And Imam Muhammad, I've been saying, I said this to him when he was living, when he brought me on board to work, do some work for him. He's my spiritual father. Remember what the father do. After the mother have nursed and brought this child up to about 10, 11, 12, then the father, he may have taken him for rides before that. But then the father started introducing him more to the world. So Imam Muhammad took us, no, not the world of the neighborhood that our fathers might have gave us. He gave us the world, period. He took leaders around the world. When he stood with the Pope, that was a blessing for the Pope. That wasn't just a blessing for us. That was a blessing to show that the Pope can endear himself to Islam, which he was talking to other religious leaders before. But when the black leader, if I could use that term, African-American descendant of the slave is the right term. When he stood up there and spoke to 100,000 or more people, and he spoke to more because remember, there was supposed to be 100,000 standing there, somewhere standing looking. And all of us that saw it on something else and still can see it were seeing ourselves in a manner that, you know, here we are with something that many of us can't see. And that's not a good thing. Here we are. So we have to see ourselves as those who see a good coming to us and then working from that good. And if we do that, we win. We stay away from that, we lose. So I'm going to take a PSA right now. Did it jump on? It didn't come on. Let's try it.
Peace be upon you. Are you enjoying what you're hearing? If so, stay tuned. We'll be right back after these short messages. You are listening live to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in all of the nation.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host. James Bashir. The interest of Halal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Then join us for the next hour from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of Optimal Health with host Abdul Shaheed. The program is centered around optimal health and what health is. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Thank you very much, Brother James. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal with the Halal Industry and Do For Self. As I'm saying, Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. The Halal Industry, Do For Self, and I'm enjoying it, and sometimes I enjoy AM360 sometimes when I'm talking, that I forget to look over and see that anybody that desire to speak, and I see we have a couple, look like, a few. So I'm going to start off with the last four numbers, 3316. Your mic should be coming on, or it may be on now, so you can begin to speak.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, this is Bilal from New Orleans.
Okay, Brother Bilal.
Thank you to Allah
Orleans.
For
yes,
Alhamdulillah, thank you to Allah for you, Brother Ayub. I have
yes,
got to listen to you sometimes, Alhamdulillah. There's something I wrote I'd like to share. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Please.
The individual should be respected as a servant of the Most High. He must move forward even when he is sick and tired. His guide man towards the truth. Help him to do what he needs to do. God created him to support him in the struggle to survive. Marriage life would help him to go the extra mile. Children are born. This will keep us strong. Family life will cause him to sacrifice. God wants him to progress. His social needs must be met. He don't want his wife to get upset. She deserves the best. God has intended to the best. Excuse me. God has intended the best for the human being. Our success should be seen. We are part of a team. Sex is just the beginning of something big. Like AM360 and CWSC, we are too legit to quit. Business and higher education help us to take care of our social needs. We must seek to become economically free. We can give more charity. This is a plus for our community. Humanity will hold us together. Strive always to make things better. Allah has opened up our mind to scriptures. We must protect and guide our future. Let's not go anywhere until we get out of the share. Each person needs to study so he can know how to be more responsible. The relationship with Allah is something that cannot be store-bought, especially what he was taught. Praise be to Allah for your show, but are you? Assalamu alaikum.
I believe, my brother, please, that your message came across. I'm going to take a pause right now just to get an announcement.
I'm
so bear with us.
Thank you, Brother Ayub.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Peace be unto you. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, sending a friendly reminder to all AM360 radio hosts of the special upcoming host meeting scheduled for this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Yes. Once again, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, we need those PSAs to get the point across to the host on the meeting this coming Saturday, 4 p.m. So I'd like to go back. I see someone still have a question. I'm going to hit 279. The mic will be open for you in a second, and please make a statement or question, whichever. It's open.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Imam Bilal.
Well, Muhammad Sharif. Yes, sir. Good to have you. So you have a question, a statement? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been listening week after week after week, and I guess my reason for calling this time, I'm saying, well, maybe they're not opening their lines up, anyone to make any comments or statements, because we just hear you speaking, but nobody else be calling in and saying anything. So I thought we'd make this known that it's something, the board is not working or nobody's calling in, or you don't invite anyone to push the one, to know anyone have a statement or question. So that's why I'm calling in, is because this sounds like your monologue, that you be talking, but nobody else has anything to say for the whole 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I think we bring this to your attention, you know, because some
yes,
people
sir.
That don't know anything about you, what I knew about you for the years, you know, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, yes, sir.
There are a lot of people that comes on, they have no idea what you're talking about. I'm talking about young people come in the last 10 years or so. They have no idea what you're talking about, Hillel.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Great. I want you to finish your comment, then I'm going to comment on what you said and go back to the program as well.
Yeah, basically that's what I'm saying. A lot of people have no idea what you're talking about, the halal and your industry. You've been doing this for the last 30, 40 years, and they have no idea about halal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yes, sir. I agree with you, my brother, and what you're saying. But that's why we have to teach those that come behind us from what we forgot. And we're not doing it with the same, just talking with the same thing in mind, just to talk to the young. We're talking to ourselves. We're talking to each other. Meaning this, like I didn't know you was listening, and I will say to everyone that is listening, I feel like I'm a pretty good student, but I had some great teachers telling me how to work on this, and I didn't keep all the notes. So some of it I didn't want to touch because I might be touching the wrong thing. So every now and then I'll ask Imam Kareem or Sister Latifah or whoever else, Sister Martha, whoever else would help me from behind the scene to control the board. Last week we had a couple questions, and yours today, of course, and the few today, and I want to be one that remember it, but sometimes I'm pulling in, as you said, I'm talking, and I may forget to do it. So I apologize to you all right now, and I see we have still two on there, so I want to reach for 3275 right now, and then we can finish hearing from those who call in and then go on to the next. So 6216, I just opened your mic. It's a comment.
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid, alhamdulillah, radio station manager for AM360. And believe it or not, Muhammad Sharif have helped me a lot, you know. For real, he's very astute. Yes, sir, he have helped me a lot in that he will – point out, you know, certain things I can do we definitely appreciate him. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
He is an avid listener, and we are grateful to Allah for him. The upcoming host meeting this coming Saturday, we are taking the advice of our beloved Imam Adam Abaya that host meeting will be on a Zoom site,
okay,
so that we can see one another and also give further instruction for the operating of the studio board in that meeting.
Yes.
So we look forward to your presence. Praise be to Allah. And like you, what you are giving is education, you know, explaining
yes,
that halal, you are really presenting it in its broad aspect of halal.
It's not just
meat, it's all that is good, you know, all that is good. And we want to encourage our youth to participate in all that is good, you know. So you aren't speaking narrowly. You're speaking very broad, and you're educating us and them, because we have to be reminded, praise be to Allah, we have to be reminded. Allah in the Quran, he repeats himself in many different frameworks, because he know us. He know we will forget, you know. So alhamdulillah, we are grateful for you reminding us and broadening the subject of halal beyond just our diet. Thank you, my beloved Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. May Allah continue to bless you and us. We are grateful for your presence on AM360. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, Brother Imam Kareem. And all of the criticizers, I've always been one that my father, I'll say first, talked to me and my brothers and sisters, many of us, and my mother regularly. He gave me the Bible. My oldest brother said that didn't happen with him, and I said probably because you were the first boy. But I'm like the middle boy out of five boys. It was eight of us that actually lived through birth. And my father talked to me regularly, the same habit to talk to my family and my children. And I always opened the door before even knowing the term of shura bainahum or any suggestion like that, but because the way my father did, that I want to hear even the children say what they think was said. And we need that. So our brother, yes, you're right. I'm talking and I'm praying. I'm laying a foundation for us to see what's missing with us that came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, came with Imam Muhammad and still are here. What's missing with us is our unity. We know the work. See, I don't even have to know all this program that I'm working with AM360 because Imam Kareem and the sisters will be right there and they can cover it and carry it for me. But as you heard him say, there will be a discussion this weekend that I plan to be there to teach me what I'm missing. Because when it comes to technology, I'm not afraid of it. But what I don't know, I don't touch. And they could show me within a flash that touch it. This could be what you want over here for sound or for this or for whatever the case is. So I'm confident, but I didn't. Our sister gave to me at Khalida, I think it was Sister Khalida, gave to me when she first gave me the first lessons before I came on air, a couple of weeks before I came on air. And I didn't practice it because I didn't know if I pull it up, would I do something that could disturb whatever was going on. So I ask everybody most times to bear with me because I'll talk and forget that I'm the one controlling the queue to see if somebody has a question. But I do prefer until I get it down packed, and even when I get it down packed, because I could overlook it. Allah is the only one know everything. We know things because we help each other. I give total permission to the staff of AM360, Brother Imam Kareem, and the sisters that I've spoken with, and they've called me and talked to me, et cetera. I give total permission. If you're on the keyboard and you see it and I don't, you can put me in the green room right away, and they understand what that is, those of you don't. And in that green room, tell me what I'm not. I will ask them not to let me control it. Go ahead and set it. Do it what's needed. So, and that way we get it done. I read the PSA, but I don't always see, and I don't know how to control that yet. So I have to be honest with you. I have needs to know how to operate this at the same time while I'm talking. You know what I mean? And my effort to my brother, that in the speaking, I don't want to speak on halal. And I guess I'm working to re-energize those of us who know already, but also it's our job to teach the young, the one that's coming behind us. It's halal, though, for us to go in our neighborhoods. Don't just run out there. Make a strategy for your own neighborhood. If you live in a city like Philadelphia, we got houses next door to each other. You may have 50 houses in one block, 30 houses, 40, depending on how short the block is and how many houses are actually next to each other. Some places you live, you got land. You don't have a bunch of people there, but you still got to look out for the same thing, because the poison up here will eventually be in those type places. The poison in this type city, when I say up here. And we got many cities around the country that have that problem. We just have to address it. They have to know, once upon a time, the ministers, as they was marching over these years, they say, where are the Muslims? I don't know about your town, but in Philly, they say, where are the Muslims? So we had working relationships, and we attacked crime. Many times, the Muslims might have been in the front. But you couldn't tell because the Christians was working right there also. Few that came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Imam Muhammad, let their egos get in the way when it came to Christians. Now, we got some communities who've been taught from abroad, from people that are not from among us as a racial family. Religious family, yes, but not of the racial family. So they don't understand over here. So they'll come over here and say, the prophet said we don't regard Christians. He never say that because Allah didn't never tell them that. No, Allah ain't tell the prophet, and we quote that Allah said to the prophet, he don't say anything of himself. He don't speak of himself. When he speaks what Allah gave him. As much as we are trying to be the same, and Allah speaks to us, we follow, and that's what we're going to repeat. What I don't know, I can't say. I might slip, but I'm going to try my best to find something in my head or in my experience that anything I do, anything I'm going to do, or anything I see, I can find an ayat that tells me how to handle that. I can't sit here and say, oh, Allah going to send me a message like he said it to Muhammad and Prophet. He didn't give me that. But I got the Quran. All of us read the Quran regular. Male, female. The sister, the only one know it in Arabic. Okay, let her help you learn Arabic. Don't become these type brothers that, you know, the sister can't lead me. I'm the dumbest thing in the room, and the only one knows something is the sister, and I'm going to say somebody can't leave. Well, that's probably why I'm the dumbest if I say something like that. No, I've got to say what's right. Can you teach me? Can you show me how to do this? No, sister, get in the back. I'm waiting on a brother. No, the sister know how to lead the prayer. You just came in this line. You don't know how to lead it. You can still stand in the front, but she have to say what you need to say, or else you ain't praying. You just standing up there with your arms folded, and she's supposed to follow that, and you don't know how to do it. It's your house. She can't lead the masjid. She's not the imam of the masjid. But there's a lot of leadership positions our women can lead in, and without Islam and without Christianity, many of our women led us in things that saved our lives coming out of slavery and during slavery. Now, all of a sudden, we got Islam. Imam Muhammad said, we got Arabic. He didn't say Islam, up in Newark, 1 year. He said, we got Arabic, and all of a sudden, we forgot how to see God. And well, God ain't no different because we ain't speaking Arabic. He's God. He gave us everything to use our common sense with and to build with. So I'm appealing to us to eventually see ourselves establishing a community. But we need a body of people coming together in your area. I'm not trying to come somewhere and lead in your area. No, you're the leader there, whether you're the imam or not. You got an imam there that ain't doing it, then you hear it, you push him. Brother imam, we should be doing this. We should be doing this. We should be doing that. Because some of our brothers have gotten to the point that all we want to do is, like I said, recently, I hadn't gone to the masjid for a year or so since the COVID. So the week before it fitra, the end of the fast, Ramadan, I went and prayed at the masjid on a Thursday by myself. I didn't want to be with no crowd. I wanted my first return to any kind of crowd. to be after I made the prayer in the masjid, because that's what I left. Most of, out of everything that I left doing during the COVID, the major thing that I left from doing every day was visiting the masjid. But I go to the masjid, is the best place for me. I feel very comfortable praying there. I pray at home too, don't get me wrong. And the Prophet Muhammad prayed at home. Oh, he ain't never prayed at home. He always prayed at the masjid. Well, how Aisha knew that, you know, he prayed and touched the sheet of the bed with his hand or his head, I think it was his head, during the time her menses was on. How did that get reported if he prayed at the masjid? He prayed sometime at home. You know what I mean? Did that say stop going to the masjid? No. Let's make him a human, though, not other than human, because that's what he is. And that's why his pattern is easy to follow, because he's a human. And this religion, this faith, this deen, this way of life is built on necessity and need. Sometimes you need to change something. Sometimes it's necessary for us to do it this way because we're not in a position to do what we want to do. You can break your fast if you're traveling. It's necessary. You can break up prayers if you're in war. There's a threat on your life. Anything that you know, we look at in the masjid, those are calm, peaceful times. That's supposed to be. Halal is the people. Then with that, what will we have? If we become halal people, then we can open up businesses all across the country that produce anywhere from hundreds of thousands to multi-millions. Maybe even billions. Collectively, I'm sure billions. And we can actually serve our community of people. We can help our young get off the corner. And so, my brother, you'll understand also what I do here in Philly and have always done is I talk to the young people, crowd of brothers in various messages that talk to the young people. We want them to do better. I'm not saying we all got the same message. And that has to be done around the world. We have to talk to our young. We have to talk to our persons that's our age and younger. Some may be a little older, because I'm older than some of the ones that's talking on the program here. But we have to talk to the point that we work to improve the living of our neighborhood and put some wealth in it. How are you going to put wealth in it? We're going to get the corruption out and put halal industries in. We want stores. We want markets. We want everything that you need that can make some, because we make everything wealthy. So to this point, it looks like we always put ourselves in a position, not intentionally, but in a position to say clearly, you all can do for our lives. No, you all can't do for our lives. We got to get our people voting. So they don't put another person in like they put in that actually devastated the country in one way or the other. Anytime you got politicians saying what happened at the White House January 6th was like any tourist day. And as I said, I've been to the White House a number of times for events that was for Muslims and just political events. And I ain't never seen nothing like that. And we all know, ain't nobody seen nothing like that. If it was a movie we was looking at. We wasn't looking at White House or the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., or no other Capitol building around this country. That we ever seen something like that, that mobs came and fought the police off. And you hear police officers committing suicide just after that. Did they commit suicide because it was too much for them? Probably, maybe. I don't know. I didn't speak to him. You didn't speak to him. But we know something is wrong with the society, and we have to recognize our lives have always been in this society. And our lives are not guided, never has been guided by anybody but God, or not by anybody, any entity other than God, other than Allah, for those of us that understand just the Arabic. So, here we are living in a society that many of our young, 50 years and down, I call our young, even though it's 60 and down is the young. The person that's 60 might not aspire to be in government if he ain't already in it, if she ain't already in it. 50 or younger, let's train them to aspire to be leaders in this country, whether it's in the city, local, in the state, or if it becomes in the federal government, Washington, that is. Let us take a share with our good conduct, with our good sense, and put some strength in those places where right now it looks like ain't none. And as I say, for the Republican Party, pray that if they say the truth, they're going to lose voters. Then we need to create a new one. Probably both parties need to be recreated. And in the recreation, we should want what is halal. Halal leadership. Can you be a Christian and be halal? Yes. We ain't talking about food right now. Halal is just to do what is right before God. You don't have to be a Muslim for us to say, oh, that's good. That was right. Well, he ain't a Muslim. Well, okay, that was wrong. No, it was either right or wrong from the start. You congratulate or thank the person afterwards, and whatever their faith, whatever their race, come to Allah. But the good, did the right result come out because that was the intent to have the right result come out? We got to do it. Nobody makes our America but the people of America. We are people of America. The halal position of our life is to take charge of our life. As a race of people and as a people of this country. Let nobody keep telling us, well, we belong in Africa. No, we belong wherever Adam was. But Allah spreads everybody over the land. White folks didn't just come and get us and bring us here. Allah allowed that to happen. Ain't but one God. Allah allowed that to happen like he inhabited the rest of the earth, caused the rest of the earth to be inhabited. He moved the people. How often do I check one people with another? He moved them. Sometimes my family, your family can't get along. So I'm moving over on this side, and I'll begin over here. It's enough land that we ain't got to fight. Might have started off just that small. The person might have went maybe less than 50 miles away and set up. And they ain't see each other but every now and then because nobody else knew nobody lived over on that side. And some had fears not to go travel that way. And then as it continued until it got to us. I don't know of anybody, me personally, don't know of any people that inhabited another place that has gotten as strong as America since we were brought here. And that looked like where it started for us to bring us here and let us build this country. Let us work and make this country a great country as slaves, as servants. So servants, the president is a servant, the governor is a servant, senators, they're servants. They're supposed to be servants to the country, but also to their constituents. Allow for us to see the whole picture. Now, what helped boost that is when we recognize the economics of halal gives us the funds to make our picture real. We could want to do something. So Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted to do something, and he finally got the opportunity. 1933, he had to move away, et cetera, after that. He moved away. Let me change that. He moved away before that. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Muhammad was born not in Detroit, but in Illinois, Chicago. Place these are not new. They're as old as the first man. But when it finished, if we understand what we serve as a humanity, then we know that every race, Allah says, I made you different. So me and my wife are different. And what does our difference do that Allah allows it to do? It produces children. Okay, you can get science and say, okay, I'm going to put some female parts in a man because this man want to be a woman. It ain't the same. Your innards ain't the same as hers. Or I'm going to put this male thing on this woman because she want to be a man. Still ain't the same. And that, I don't sweat, but that's going to be between you and Allah. Allah has never told us that just go fight those people. No, they're human beings. Treat them right. But we should be strong enough to say, but don't push that stuff in front of us and our children. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want to do, but keep it in the house. And so should the rest of the people. We shouldn't be laying up even in our house with the windows wide open. Somebody could see us walking by all naked and everything, or having a relationship. The reason for the relationship, we're trying to make a baby. No. We have to be able to control our destiny. The pattern that Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us on, we was controlling that. The expansion that Imam Muhammad made to take us beyond America and took us across the waters to do business, we were controlling that. But after the passing of the Imam, it's like we still got Islam, but we're missing the piece that galvanizes us to establish that model community. And we need everything. Everything we got, we need. But we need to empower. And what's the solid floor for us? Economics. Because everything could take off like a rocket. Everything could take off if the economics is there. Our educational system have to be ours. Well, we can have some Arabs and we got, yeah, if we want to hire that. But we have to start off with a picture. Listen to what people are saying today. I listened on the radio here in Philadelphia yesterday where they were talking about, do we really need schools? And if we do, what do we need them for? Now, that's chaos. Might sound like an intelligent question, but that's chaos because how could you form yourself? How do you need education when education starts with God giving you something? He told Muhammad the Prophet, look into the creation. And then he also told him, tell them, I'm just like you. Meaning he gave him the knowledge to use your insights in the creation. Then look in yourself. See how all this stuff is relative to each other. We got to eat, but we ain't feeding ourselves. So if somebody want to starve us, they close all the stores. You think it's bad when it looks like you're running out of water, think about no water or food. There'd be some looting still for sneakers and everything until people recognize they ain't ate in a day. So, no, we got to see that something's wrong. Something is wrong, and we have to see through the faith that we live. Halal practices, fairness, got to come to the top. And the only way it can come to the top, we have to galvanize in city to city, state to state, block to block, I should say, first. Right on around to we wind up seeing across this country, just like we see in the nation, something operating. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad called it a nation in a nation. He wasn't trying to take nothing away from America, but he was telling us we have to operate as a unit across the country for uprightness and for our share that Allah gives to us. Not our share that somebody else decided to give us. We could take that too. But Allah gave humanity a share. Where's ours? Allah didn't hold it back. It just must be something we ain't doing. They can't hold it back. Nobody could take our independence, our share, and they ain't not really trying. It's just sometimes we forget the key to how our share works. And that's our unity, our trust in each other, our trust in our women, our trust in our men, our trust in our children. And that trust going back and forth through each other. But at the same time, our trust in leadership. But leadership, most importantly, trust in the people that represent you. Because you can't, you know, Imam can't just be an Imam. I'm Imam Wali Ayyub Bilal. But I got some people who say they support me as their Imam. Without that, I'm Imam of my family. Everybody can say, we don't want you to be the Imam no more. Now, I got to still live as an Imam because I'm going to answer before Allah as an Imam, just like a father will answer even if all his children are gone out the house, living, dead, or whatever. If they're all gone, he's still a father. If he's dead, they walk to the grave. They say, yeah, it's my father's grave right here. He's going to answer as a father. It's my father and my Imam. He's going to answer as a father and an Imam. So we're obligated to set a pattern, and the pattern can't be just teaching Arabic. How do we stop killing each other? How do we make sure we got top education? Teach your own. Teach your own. And don't, listen, we got teachers of all type. And again, that's allowed. So I cannot just get on this program or any program and speak of halal and start talking about how I slaughtered the animal, the prayer that I say. That's a few minutes. No, who doing it? I told you all about the time I walked to the back of the slaughterhouse to pick out the animals that I was going to slaughter. And when I came back in, about four people, Arabs, standing there with their eyes looking at me. They're looking at me like they saw a ghost when I walked through. I mean, they knew of me, but they looked like I was a ghost. And I seen an animal down on the ground in front of them. And that's not where the animal usually be, but I still didn't figure it out. I was puzzled as why they looking at me like that. I gave them the greeting. They gave the greeting, but, you know, it was like, oh, what happened? You know what I mean? So anyway, as I walk over to the brother that was there with me, a brother, Bakir, I asked Bakir, what's wrong there? He said, they just call themselves doing the slaughter. I said, what'd they do? He said, they shot the animal in the head. Then you're going to bring that back and sell it to us, sell it to the people of the community to say it's allowed? No, that's not the way it goes. Money is not first or whatever. The animal's kicking too much. He won't settle down. I don't slaughter him because all of that is in the blood. If it's in the blood, it's being fed to the people, that agitation. So the animal is supposed to be calm, feeling like he getting ready to leave. And put in a position in this modern day and time that soon as his neck is cut, soon as his throat is cut, cutting through from the neck, cutting down through the throat, now the animal goes silent. But he's almost like puzzled, like looking at what happened. What's going on? And the blood rushes out of its body, meaning it don't have time to sit anywhere and cake up or whatever is just flowing out of his body. But they didn't do that. They wanted the easy way. They shot the animal in the head and took him back to wherever they went as allowed. I didn't say nothing to him. I didn't even turn around when I had my back to them when my brother was telling me. And he talked low enough that they didn't hear me, and he didn't have to look at them because he's looking down at me because I'm much shorter than he is. And I recognize, not just in that instance, but many instances, that they don't care what they're selling us in our neighborhood. Don't let anybody else continue. That's the mindset we got to come to do everything for us. There's no, you know, we're not going to be ran back into slavery. We got that proof. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened that door to do for self. So we have to do that. We have to see ourselves building our schools, our teachers, our educators, our principals, our deans. Can anybody else get a job? Yes, they can. You follow the qualification, fit the qualifications, whatever it is. You can get the job if there's a vacancy. But it should be clear that we control what our children get. The curriculum, you want to see it, so to pass the state's criteria? Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Education is education. Teach them the best we can, everything they're supposed to know and more. How are we going to get that school? Economics. How are we going to pay their teachers? Economics. How are we going to pay the nurse, the housekeeper of the school, of the facility? Economics, our economics. We ain't gonna ask the state, you didn't give us our share. If the state, if there's a law sitting there that said that they're supposed to give us our share because we pay taxes, we'll get that. But the main thing we got to have is what it takes for us to do it for ourselves. So is it just money? No. It's the people's mindset, being halal and building for ourselves, removing this distaste that we just dislike each other for some. I mean, let's find a love for doing good for each other and loving each other. stay right within the rules that Allah give us, no question. That's halal. Keep the right mind. Allah says to us, put the best construction on something. Something could happen, and we could take it to the worst end. But do what Allah says, and we'll find victory. Put the best construction on. Maybe it wasn't what I thought it was. I'll wait to hear from him because I didn't see it. I just seen him come out the door. I just seen him do this or whatever the case is. So when it comes to us doing for self, that's a job that Allah gave to us for ourselves. To bring our share to the nation, to this nation of America, to have our own, to participate within it, to establish leadership in it from among our own. We don't have to just vote for who you put up, who you own. Because a lot of these people that go in, they owned, O-W-N-E-D, owned. Somebody owned them. Somebody pocketed. No, we're going to educate people because God want us to be fair and just across the board. So we should see 10, 15 years down the line, some of the older children that's in school, because of our nurturing and working together, they become judges and lawyers. Judges and lawyers sometimes make the best politician, but they become judges and lawyers independent, not disrespectful, not arrogant. Person that, yeah, I got more than you, get out of my way. And even though you don't curse, it sound like you're cursing. No. Allah says when the victory comes, stay humble. Stay in prayer and don't do to them what they did to you. Why? I'm watching you. I'm the one blessing you. And we gotta say all this on AM 360 and anyone that can hear this. All of us got to admit, we've seen some bad things here, especially the last 4 years or so. Last year, too, with this COVID and everything. But COVID has been here before. People like former president has been here before. He just didn't have as much power, as much glare. But remember, he didn't have it. They didn't have it back then because they don't have the technology to display it around the world like they do now. You can get a disease off the TV, off the computer, off your phone that went viral across the world. And I'm not talking about a disease like the COVID itself. I'm talking about a disease of mind. Just by looking at the poison that's spewed out from a person, such as the previous president, that caused half of the government, maybe across the country, but definitely at the White House area, to be afraid to speak against him because they think they're going to lose the voters that vote for him. And the voters that vote for him, they're not all poison. They just got caught up in that virus of that type thinking. So you and I have to see, we should run that through our head a number of times and see how we see it. I'm talking about we, all the listeners. Mercy to humanity. Why is Muhammad the prophet a mercy to humanity? Why? He's not here physically. Because the pattern, if it's followed, it will heal the society that we live in. Allah will help that society to follow that pattern. Why is the Quran a mercy for humanity? Because if the people adopt that pattern, that is the language of the Quran, which is Allah's language to us, his revelation, he speaks to people in revelation, not in a language like Arabic, Spanish. We get that. But what is happening when we read it, something is revealed all the time. Most of us, I think we can agree. We read the same Quran. I got a Quran that's about 30 years old. I read the same Quran every Ramadan. I got other Qurans too. But every Ramadan I read from the same Quran. And every year I see something that looks a little clearer. I might even say something. I didn't see that way last time. Or the last times with ES on the end. S on the end, excuse me. So now I see it. So we have to get deeper in our practice of improving what Allah has given us to win with. It's all halal. If it's halal, we win. Then when we do business, our business will be the best of business. We can get wealthy across the board. That's enough. There's enough right now in the earth for every human being to be wealthy. Every human being. 6 billion in some of us. And there's still space for more things to happen. But all of us can get wealthy right now where we don't even really need nothing from across the street because we got it over here. They don't need nothing from this side of the street because they got it over there. Allah has provided that. There's trees all up and down. Those of us travel down the highway, there's trees. Allah says take them and turn them into pencils, pens, and take all the water and double it up and put it in the ink and try to write and exhaust my word. And you find you still ain't got enough trees to make pencils and you ain't got enough water to make ink. And those of us that travel, we see plenty of it. But Allah said all of that you see, it is not enough to exhaust my word. So his word is for us to be successful. Halal is the way. When we see Islam just means submission. I don't mean just like it's just a small thing, but just means submission to God's will. How though? In a halal manner, in a proper manner, in an upright manner, in a manner that can be done before, in the most best form before young, old, and babies, with no insult. And that's what we have to work for. We have to see ourselves doing that. I see a call, 3316. I'm going to turn your mic on. It's working, and you should be able to come on in a second. So now you can come on. You have a question. Yes, sir.
I'm
getting better. That was the first one I did on my own.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that I've seen on my own. Recognized. So thanks to Brother Kareem.
Thank you, my brother.
And the sisters there, Imam Kareem and the sisters. Yes. Go ahead, brother.
They do a good job. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
what is that the goal? Yes. What is that the goal for the human life? We are just one universal soul. Human life starts in faith, depending upon our creator. The young life need his parents to fulfill their obligation. Allah is the provider. Right. We thank him for this situation. Moving right along to survive, we need other kind of help from the all strong. We are told because of our skin color and economic status that we don't deserve to have much. Believe me, those times in history and now are really tough. We needed the joy, the all-wise that we could totally trust. The social reformer was sent to the lost found. He said we need our own city and town. We have a global connection. Be grateful for those in our association, CWSC and AM360, and all of the conference calls have Shaitan and the dupe up against the wall, breaking divine law. Build our own institution. That is the logical conclusion. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Thank you, my brother. You didn't give us your name. You didn't give us your name.
Excuse me. This is Bilal from New Orleans.
Okay, that's Bilal again. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Salim, right?
Wow, it's been a while.
I ain't got Salim's name right now. Yeah, but Salim, he does the same thing. He works with words. So
you're talking about Habib.
We need that.
I ran into Habib a lot. He's doing great work in New Orleans, big brother, with law enforcement, things like that. He'll fire your ball, brother.
Yes.
Believe me.
Yes. Hey, let me say this to you. You all, especially with age, are valuable. We have a brother here in Philly. You might have heard of him before. His name is Lukman now, Al-Haq. But he was Kenny Gamble, brother.
I've seen him on a music tape.
Yeah. OJs and Intruders and all of them came through him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he used to manage them and write records, write music.
He produced a couple of stars, too.
Yes, he produced a couple of stars, too. Yes. So this is what I say to you all. You all also need to get together. I would like to see him. I suggested to him some years ago for him because he's known in that field. And he can get through that field, right? And he might be able to get through it easier than you all, but you all in that field, too, and you're known by some in that field. That field, we have to give attention to it. We have to give attention to it because our young need to do what they do in rap and song and all of that, but they need to clean it up because part of the criminology comes from that. The rap started off with the gangsters, but they thought they were speaking of the older blacks, some of us, from the time we were in, but we weren't gangsters. You know what I mean? So now our people is loaded up with gangsters and all the wrong stuff. We need rappers, even if it don't be them. We need rappers and singers and music makers that actually we need that talent to be able to speak to the world, because it does, but it needs to speak to it clean. See, if we could take some of that stuff out, maybe some of these young boys won't be killing each other and going to jail, and young sisters.
Right.
But the point is,
there
are Muslims that say, we don't need music. We don't need poetry and all that stuff. No, we need all of that. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, if we study the prophet's life, one of the surahs, I'm not sure if it's Asa or one of the others, but one of the short surahs was put up on the wall in the prophet's early days of prophethood as the greatest poetry that they have ever heard. Now, of course, it wasn't poetry. It was the Quran. It was the Quran. But
right.
What it was, what I was saying, that, nobody said nothing like that. So they posted up on the wall in his time. And I'm not sure if it's Asa or one of the other ones, but either way, we need to know, though, every talent that touches man have to be utilized to clean up man. So
they have a young sister called Sophia Baldwin, and she's the niece of the sister Khalila, and she got a serious connection going on the internet, and inshallah, if God with a sister, we're going to be evolving that too, inshallah.
I mean, that'd be good, but it's across the country, Wally Ali and it's a number of them, you know what I mean? I can't think of all of them. You probably may know them better than me, the entertainers. But we need to take that and be strong enough to come out and give them a better direction and find the support of people that just want clean stuff. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you get tired of hearing all that other stuff. I mean, they can rap, but it's going into it sounding like garbage with all the, you know, to some people it sounds like heaven, but to me it sounds like garbage when it has all the cursing and all the, stuff that you don't need to necessarily hear, especially when you got children, elderly, et cetera, that's hearing it as well. You know what I mean? So let me get this other caller.
Right.
If that was for you,
Assalamu
all right?
Alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam, yes. So I'm pushing, calling on 7455, I believe. I hit something different, or it moved, excuse me. No, it is 7455. I hit it and it just jumped. You have something to say? 7455, last four numbers.
It's a lie. It's been said. You didn't say it at all. And I just say, you know, recite, I am born Anthony Gay, Luqman Sadiq, the son of Ilhaj Mary Ramza Gay.
Okay.
And all I can say is know self and you know others, because I be quoting the brother Muhammad Ali when he said those three guys you love the most, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ain't got nothing to do for real. The real God is the real God. He put you together when you was in your mama's stomach.
Yeah.
And he makes day follow night and night follow the day. Okay?
I mean,
He is the one God. Allah. Allah. Ilaha, Ilaha. There is no God but God. He didn't have no mom and no dad. Islam.
That's the key
to the religion of all the prophets from Adam to Muhammad. Okay?
That's right. Yes.
And all I can say, I'm just blessed to hear you today. You telling me what I be running around. I'm 70-year-old man.
You're still a young man.
All I can say is I'm still here.
I'm counting my blessings. Yeah, that's right. All of us. And we got something still to give. So we got to do that.
And the best is yet to come.
I mean, that's a fact. And what's your name? Did you say your name?
Luqman.
Say your name again.
Sadiq.
Luqman, you did say your
Luqman
name.
Luqman.
Yes. Okay, brother Luqman. Yes, I got you. Luqman Sadiq. Yes, I got you. Yes. So thank you, my brother.
Just don't be no quitter. Stay Alive. That's the name of the game.
Stay Alive. That's right. That's right.
That's the name
of
the game. Take care of these babies and old people like me, I tell them.
Yeah, that's right. And we got to pass something to them, though. Because, see, they can look, as I was saying earlier, they can look in our eyes and see if we know we talk. Yeah, we got something for
them. Definitely.
All right.
The feet of the mother and kids learn.
Yeah, pitching. You fade now, but yes. Yeah.
Pitching language.
All right,
if
there's anyone else.
Okay, get somebody else to
see if anybody else wanna ask a question. Touch one at this time on your phone, your dial, and we can pick that up. Thank you very much, Brother Lupin. And like I say, we have to see ourselves as those who have something to give forward, something to produce for others. Something that actually allows everyone to do what their specialty is and serve each other in a way that we grow this community. I want to let a PSA come from Brother James right quick before we get prepared to end.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts Brian Ali and James Bashir. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build a model community. To join us for the next hour from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of Optimal Health with host Abdul Shaheed. Program is centered around optimal health and what health is. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891. Or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Parent Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us. Or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yes, sir. Thank you once again. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayu Bilal with the Halal Industry, Do For Self. Allah has shown us the way to get things done, and that is working together, being one, loving each other, loving our people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you're not done, brother, until your brother have Islam. So we have to bring it to them, and that's what we call or what we hear, a mercy to humanity. We spread it, spread the goodness. Everybody that has a talent, as Imam Muhammad said, those who have a way, find those that's just like you. Allah will bring you together if you search. And let us begin to build from where we at, because we expect to raise the economic bar one day. Not just Bilal's Inc., the Halal Industry. There are others that's out there doing the same thing we're doing. I don't know them yet, but Allah says he'll bring us together. But I know Allah didn't make no one man to just get the job done, one idea to get the job done. So all of us, but whatever our talent is, those that run this hostess program, you know more about it than I know, and you know people that actually handle public radios, et cetera, et cetera. One day we're going to have our own air. You'll know more about that than me, but I think if I had the money, I would be ready today to put up whatever the tower that was necessary to give us an air wave across the country. I may use the wrong terms. Those that's in it, they know what I'm talking about. They know how to work it. They know what's needed. So let us prepare for that. That if Allah blessed us with that, we got a group we can say, hey, manage this. We find out that the housing for that need to be in your state, then no, let's pay for it to be in your state because you got the people there to do it. So if it's in multiple states, then how do we touch everybody? This world is doing, I've always been that as a child. If I could see you do it, I could do it. I know that if you were able to do it, I didn't know it as a child, but I know as an adult, if you did it, then God put it in me to be able to do it. And if that's my forte, then I'm going to get thriving. So all of us, let us work for what we need to do to actually bring about the success for our people, not asking others to maintain us, but for us to be able to maintain ourselves. And what I'm going to do now at this moment is I'm going to put on a PSA. I might, Brother Imam Kareem, I would rather you do it because I don't have everything in front of me and I ain't got the time to look at all of it, but I'll start it off with a short one. And if you don't mind, take over from there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ni'mat Shaheed for American Muslim 360 announcing Eyes on Our Communities. While all are being challenged by the current public health environment, some older Americans who are being urged to stay at home could unfortunately wind up being out of sight, out of mind. Social isolation itself can be a threat. So CWSC is asking believers nationwide via its National Volunteer Human Resource Network to be an extra set of eyes now for our seniors to help ensure that they're okay. If you're a senior or disabled person and need assistance, please call 910-317-0297, and one of our volunteers will be assigned to call you and help connect you with government agencies, nonprofits, civic or faith-based, and other institutions addressing elderly and disabled needs. We don't want a single person to fall through the cracks. Call 910-317-0297. Help is just a phone call away. A public service announcement from the CWSC and AM 360.
You are listening to American Muslim 360 live on Blog Talk Radio, a division of CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, Incorporated. Visit us online, www.cwsc.us or www.blogtalkradio.com/AmericanMuslim360.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Greet everyone with the greeting of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Give all praise and thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here with you today and for allowing you to be here with us. You are with Abdullah Shaheed, your host of Optima Health. It is our aim and objective every week on am360.org to enlighten health conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Brothers and sisters, health is all about nourishing the cells, taking care of the needs of our cells. That's what health is. Health is defined as a reward that the cells bestow on a person who succeeds in aligning the desire of their mind with the needs of their cells. Brother and sister, health is all about homeostasis. It's about balance, symmetry, balance. The mind must agree with what the cells need, and the cell will do their job to restore our health and keep us healthy. They will work for our behalf. This is how the Almighty has created it. This is how he has designed it, and we have many messages in the creation to point towards that. We have the sun and the moon and the stars in their own orbit in perfect harmony, in perfect balance. It is the human being now must learn harmony and balance within his own body, mind, and soul. This is what health is all about. We certainly thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us on Optima Health. Optima Health is achieved when we take the time, brothers and sisters, to cure our diseases. All diseases are curable, but it is up to the person who has the disease will determine Well, their disease will be cured or incurable, the person who has it. We have to transfer our negative energy into positive energy. When there's more positive energy in our body than negative energy, that's when we are restoring our health. When there's more negative energy existing in our body than positive energy, that is the cause of sickness and disease. Sickness and disease. So you with Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometry health coach. Now that word symptometry, do not allow it to frighten you. In front of that word, you see the word symptom. Symptom is not the disease. Symptom is the indication that our body needs help, that our cells need help, that things are getting out of order, things are getting out of balance. That's what this symptom indicates. It's a warning sign for us. It's the time for us to take a look at what we've been eating, what we've been drinking as waters and beverages, the air we've been breathing, the environment that we're in. Is it negative? Is there too much negativity in our environment? Or that toxic in our environment? These are the things that our mind should go to when we start getting symptoms. Doesn't make any difference where the symptom is coming from. The symptom is the indication. It is the language in which our body speaks to us. It is the language in which our body addresses us. They're called symptoms. If you just treat the symptom, you won't be going to the product that produces the disease, that produced the symptom. We need to go to the source, the root cause that produced the disease, that produced the symptom. This is what optimal health is all about, and this is what symptometry is all about. It is the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cells, the living cells of the human being. That's where our energy comes from. That's where our neurochemical, neurotransmitter, neurons, and cell essentials, body essentials, brain essentials, they come from our cells. Brothers and sisters, we give ourselves the nourishment. We have to nourish ourselves. This is what eating food is all about. Drinking water, drinking beverages, this is what it's all about. If it does not nourish your cells, the question is, why are you eating it? Why are you eating it? Just because it tastes good, looks good, smells good? And my aunt Mary made it, that's why you're eating it? No, the first thought should be, is this going to nourish my cells or is this going to hinder my cells? That should be the question. That's what the question should be. We should ask ourselves that question each and every time we put something into our mouth. So we have a symptom, and that's all we are treating. The disease that that symptom will produce will continue to get more and more chronic, more and more chronic. Our topic today, brothers and sisters, is what entails optimal health, part two. We started this conversation on our last episode, last week. And we have to do a part two because we have a lot more information to share. This is what entails optimal health. Part two. This is the topic for the day. And we already have begun to share some very important things about optimal health. In order to be optimally healthy, brothers and sisters, we have to cure all our diseases. That has to be our intention, to cure our disease. After a few years, the disease that we have will become a vortex of negative energy. Negative energy. Think about it. It will become a vortex. A vortex is something like a volcano. Have in your mind a volcano. And then the lava will be thrown out into the atmosphere. Large chunks of hot lava, stone, will be exploded from the volcano. That's how the disease we have would do negative energy. It will spew negative energy out. This is how cancer kills the person. Cancer is a neoplastic enzyme. It's an enzyme. And that enzyme grows and spreads, destroying tissue as it comes in contact with it. Negative energy is the same thing. Matter of fact, neoplastic enzyme is nothing but negative energy. Those cancer cells are communicating with each other. They give signals. And it's our job to shut down and disconnect the signal. Every disease is curable, brothers and sisters. This is what this program is teaching us. This is the object of this program. So we can achieve optimal health. If we have optimal health, then our brain will be at its best position to help us solve problems. We become the best of problem solvers. We become the best of the human being. This is our objective, to be the best person possible so we can fulfill all our potential. We can't do that with our body falling apart. If our body is falling apart, that also means our brain is falling apart and is compromised. If our brain is congested, it also means that our mind would be congested. The mind is the abstract part of our brain. All these things are connected. The human being must achieve balance, homeostasis, equilibrium, whatever word you choose to use. There must be harmony between the mind and the body, between the mind and the cells. It is the cells who are many factors, but are many factors inside of us that's produced. Our brain is central, our cell is central, and our body is central. Those are the things that make us human, brothers and sisters. So before we really get into our topic, what entails optimal health, we want to point to the product that produce diseases. We want to review them very quickly again. And we shared this information before, but I know we have to repeat. You might have new listeners on the line, so we have to repeat these things. Even if there are no new listeners on the line, repetition is important so we can get it the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth time. Because we all should want to be optimally healthy. This is the objective. So we already talked about symptoms, which is a language that our body speaks. It doesn't speak Arabic, none of those languages. It speaks in symptoms, symptomatic signs. It is a sign to the symptoms. That's what symptometry is all about. Symptometry has broken the code on symptoms, the language that the body speaks, and that language is universal all over the world. So when you have a symptom, it points to trained symptometry, the experienced symptometry, in the direction of the source of the problem, of the source of the disease. So here are some sources of product that produce the disease. Number one, poison. Number two, vaccine. Number three, venom. Four, carcinogen. Five, concretion. Six, extreme heat. Seven, extreme cold. Eight, too much salt. Nine, too little salt. 10, too much calcium, potassium, other nutrients. 11, inadequate calcium, potassium, other elements. 12, stress and negative energy, some negative emotions. 13, solar radiation, man-made radiation. 14, extreme pH, acidosis and alkalosis. For those people who want to drink alkaline water, 9.5, you're doing your body, your health, a disservice. Our body is not supposed to be alkalized. This is science, verifiable science. Some part is acid, some part is alkaline, by design. By design. So we have to keep the balance. We have to keep the harmony. Know what has to be acid. Know what has to be alkaline. Do not overdo it. You do not need to drink alkalized water, 9.5, 8.5. That is doing a disservice. Give the right knowledge, the right information, or you'll be taken advantage of. 15, too much electricity. 16, inadequate electricity. 17, toxins of microbes. Microbes are everywhere, brothers and sisters. Microbes are those organisms that we cannot see with our eyes. That's why they're called microbes. We cannot see them with our eyes. We have to have the aid of a microscope or some other instrument like that. So we cannot see microbes. They come in the form of viruses. They come in the form of worms. Worm you can see and worm you cannot see. They come in the form of bacteria, mold, fungus, yeast. All of these things are microbes. And they're living organisms. And their number one mission is for longevity, to live as long as they can. If our body is out of balance, brothers and sisters, if they're out of balance and we began to produce growth factors for these microbes, they are coming to feed on us. You cannot blame them. You have to blame ourselves for not knowing what to do to keep the balance, to keep the harmony, to keep the symmetry. This is what optimal health is all about. Believe it or not, this is it. Our own body must be in harmony with the mind and the soul. And though the universe is in harmony with itself, and we have to have the same vibration as the vibration of the universe. We're not independent of the universe. We're part of it. So our vibration must be in harmony with the vibration of the universe. Then we will have optimal health. We'll be able to achieve optimal health, and we'll be in tune with everything in the creation. This is the object of optimal health. So we can become the very best person that we have the capacity to be. This should be the object. So the toxic of microbes, they leave their toxic in us, even after we're able to get rid of them. Their toxic will still be floating in our blood. So we're going to tell you how you have to remove the toxic. You also have toxic plant alkaloids. Those are things that plants produce that are heat resistant. Heat will not destroy them. If you happen to eat them or use them in an herb, the plant alkaloid would graft itself onto your organ, your system. You have 11 systems. They will find a niche. If you don't have optimal health, they will find a niche, a crack in your foundation. And they will plant a disease there that will begin to grow there. These are the products that produce diseases in human beings, in all of us. If we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, this is what happens. 19, disintegrating body protein. Brother and sister, it is not the disease that kills the person. It is not the disease that kills the person. It is the decomposing, disintegrating body protein, poison. Our own body will poison us. It will break down and poison us. Because the cell will not be in a position to eliminate the poison, to prevent the poison from taking place. Because protein, if it's disintegrating and rotting inside of us, it will poison us. Our own tissue will poison us. This is how the person dies. Not from the disease itself. Our body is breaking down, out of balance. It's disintegrating. The microbes are feeding, and our own body is disintegrating the toxic from disintegrating protein. Number 20, toxic acid. 21, toxic chemical and pharmaceutical drugs, pesticides, and man-made poison. These are the 21 products that causes diseases, that will produce. These are the producers of disease. So be aware of them, and we'll keep repeating them. So, brother and sister, we're going to take a short break. So please do not go anywhere at all. We'll be right back to start on our topic, What Entails Optimal Health. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at cwsc.us. because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Awesome and Health, your certified symptometry health coach. Brothers and sisters, our mind is a gold mine. Our brain is a gold mine. But in order to tap its resources, we must know how to synchronize the desire of our mind with the needs of ourselves. This is what health is all about. Remember that. Health is a reward. It is a day-by-day effort that we all have to make. You can be healthy today, and tomorrow you can walk into a building or ride in someone's car or ride behind a dump truck and be exposed to chemicals, poisons, heavy metal in the air. And then you can be knocked off your feet. You can be exposed to something, a virus, and be knocked off your feet. Health is guaranteed to no one. It is an individual effort that we all have to practice every single day. Do not take health for granted. Your health is your wealth. Absolutely. Believe it. Know it. And what we share on this program is scientific verifiable information. And if you want to be optimal and healthy, reverse your condition, this is the place to be. So our brain is a gold mine. It's one of our minds, but they must be in synchronized. They must be in agreement. They must be in harmony. There must be harmony between our mind and our cells. That includes our brain cells. And in order to produce this harmony, brothers and sisters, oxygen, we started talking about oxygen on our last episode. Oxygen is very, very important. Oxygen is the cell activator. It activates life. Without it, the cells will begin to go under suspended animation. They don't really die. They go under suspended animation until they get what they need. And they need oxygen, brothers and sisters. That's what our cells need. So we need to know something about oxygen. Something about oxygen. If the person does not get oxygen, he or she is going to die. Brothers and sisters, we're going to mention a few things about death. Death has always been a mystery for most of us. It's always been a mystery. It has been misconstrued. Said that the Creator is calling the person home. His earthly duties are over. The Almighty, when we really think about it, don't need us in the heaven right now. He needs us on earth to carry out our mission, to carry out our job. We have a job to do, each and every one of us. That's why we were sent here in the first place. We have a job to do. If your job is not done, the Creator is not going to call you home. So death has been misconstrued and has been made to be a mystery. And this is what has happened. Unfortunately, that is the wrong conclusion. The role that oxygen plays in ourselves is very important. And we're going to try our best to shed some light on the role of oxygen. Oxygen is the life giver, brothers and sisters. If we know how to keep it in our systems, we have 11 systems. If we know how to keep oxygen in our 11 systems, it will be our lifesaver and our health enhancer. Even though we have oxygen in the air we breathe, oxygen in the food we eat, we have oxygen in the water we drink, but there will still be many places in the person's body that will not have oxygen. How is this possible? How is it possible? Think about it. Everywhere is oxygen. But the person has diseases because there's not oxygen in some part of his body. Oxygen is important. Why is oxygen important? Oxygen holds the energy for life. Our body, brothers and sisters, if you didn't know it, it operates through force and energy. It's the largest tangent of energy. Matter of fact, force is 75% of all energy. Force. And this is how our body operates. All kinds of forces, pushing forces, pulling forces, transcending forces, defending forces. Forces to open our mouth, forces to close our mouth, force to open our eyes, close our eyes. If you were not able to produce these forces, you would sleep with your eyes open. If you're not able to produce certain forces, you will sleep with your mouth open. If you're not able to produce certain forces, you will not be able to go to the bathroom. Take pushing force. Take ascending force. It takes the use of gravitational force for us to go to the bathroom. We take so much for granted, brothers and sisters. We have been taking so much for granted. So our body operates through force and energy. And we are energy. If something is weakening our energy or depleting our energy, we will have an energy deficit. Our force and energy is coming from oxygen. If we have an energy deficit, which means that we are using more energy than we are producing, which means we are using more energy than we are producing. At some point in time, you will run out of energy. The moment you do will be the day of your death, because that's what we are, energy. Electrical energy is the foundation that produces our three nervous systems, which is the first system that is developed in the fetus, in the womb of our mother, the three nervous systems. And it took energy to do it. Took energy to do it. So oxygen is the lifesaver. It is the health enhancer. There's a medical dictionary called the Durlin Illustrated Medical Dictionary, the 30th edition, on page 1472 to page 1475. We will find there all of the name of poison that have killed human beings throughout recorded history. The name of the poison are listed there, proving that we're giving scientific, verifiable scientific information. It is sealed there. Those names are sealed there for all time. Brothers and sisters, believe it or not, it is self-poisoning that have been ruining the health of countless individuals all over the world. We poison ourselves because we take food for granted. We take water for granted. We take beverages for granted. We've been poisoning ourselves. So those poisons are listed on those pages I just named in this Durlin Illustrated Medical Dictionary. They are sealed there for anyone to read them. They are sealed there for all time. And because of that fact, people are... they are either sick or they are dying. If they're not sick, they are dying. If they're not dying, they are sick. It is either one or the other or both. And it's not getting better, brothers and sisters. It is not getting better. With all the technology we have, the health of people around the world, including here in these United States, is still deteriorating and getting worse. All of the number are increasing, all of them. So if our health is compromised and our body is out of balance, is not in harmony, it makes it easy for the virus to attack us. That's why we have to learn some things. There's something for us to learn. And there are different levels of sickness, brothers and sisters. A person can have a disease in their body and still be strong and full of energy. Then there are individuals who have a disease or several diseases in their body, and they are extremely weak. What's the difference? So you cannot just tell by looking at a person if they are healthy or not. Looks are deceiving. We have to check how much oxygen is in them, is in their cells. We have to check how much oxygen is in their brain. That would be a better indication for how well they are or how healthy they are or how sick they are. How much oxygen, what's their oxygen level in the person? A person's health is not necessarily determined by a person's look, energy level, or vitality. It is their mental state that give a glimpse of their health status. I said the mental state of the person will give a good indication of their health status. If their mental outlook or mental state is all over the place, we already know that that person has many health conditions, many health issues. So the amount of oxygen in their brain will be a better yardstick to determine how healthy a person is. Think about that. So this discussion leads us to the little-known aspect of oxygen. And the little-known aspect of oxygen is the life force and the mother of all forces in the human being. Our body operates through force and energy. We've said that many times on this program. Without those forces, without the energy, we won't be around long. We are a biological organism. Energy dependent, we depend on energy, and we also are heat dependent biological organism. We must have heat. Heat is a thermal energy, is a branch of energy, thermal energy. Give our cells the power, the strength, the pressure, the speed, the momentum that it needs to carry out its function. Give our cells those things. Those are the sub branches of energy. And those are the things that our cells need to keep us healthy. If something is blocking those things, like poison, toxic, concretion, and all those 21 things that we name, the person's health will be compromised. The person's oxygen level will go down. So we're having this discussion about oxygen so we can keep the forces in our body strong. This is what we have to do because oxygen is the mother of all forces in the human body. Believe it or not. The question is, if there's oxygen in the water we drink, in the food we eat, and in the air we breathe, why is oxygen still in short supply in a person? And we're going to give the answer. Here's the answer. Oxygen does not circulate freely in our blood. That's the answer. And, of course, we have to think on that question, and we have to think on the answer. Oxygen does not circulate freely in our blood. First of all, we are made of collagen. Collagen is protein. This is the difference between a plant and a human. We are not plants. We are human beings. We have a collagenic fiber made from protein. Plants have a cellulose fiber made from cellulose. That's a starch, a polysaccharide. That's what it is. Plant cells and human cells are not the same. They are different. So we have protein. Plants have starch. That's its foundation. Our foundation is protein. Plant foundation is starch, cellulose. Don't ever forget that. Our foundation is made from protein. So our cell will only accept oxygen that was attached to a protein. That protein is called globin, G-L-O-B-I-N. That's why it is called our blood, red blood cells called hemoglobin. It is oxygen attached to a protein. Doesn't that make sense? That's what the word means. Hemoglobin. Oxygen attached to a protein. This is why oxygen is not floating freely in our blood. It must be attached to a protein called globin. And this attachment takes place in the red bone marrow. It takes place in the red bone marrow. This oxygen is called oxyhemoglobin. It is not the same oxygen that comes out of an oxygen tank or a respirator or a ventilator. I'm trying to let us know something. It is not the same. It is not the same oxygen that man can make that comes from a tank that humans attach themselves to. The oxygen may help them breathe, but it will not do any service for their heart, their lungs, their other organs will not be able to benefit from that oxygen. That's why they will continue to deteriorate until the person dies. We're dealing with science here. We're dealing with physics. Not only anatomy and physiology, we have to address all of the science in order to understand what is taking place inside of a human being. So artificial oxygen that is stored in a tank is not the same as oxyhemoglobin. It can help a person breathe, but it will never cure hypoxia, hypoxidosis, or cellular anoxia. The person would eventually die, whether they finish their mission or not, whether they finish their purpose or not. The Almighty want us here to carry out and finish our purpose. Don't need us in heaven or wherever we might go from here. Doesn't need us there. Need us here. This is where all the work has to be done. This is where all the problems are. Think about it, brothers and sisters. That's why we are needed here. In hypoxia or hypoxidosis or cellular anoxia, most of the cells that are away from the lungs are deprived of oxygen, or the amount of oxygen they have is extremely low. This explains why a person who is on a ventilator will be alive, but the cell and many of his or her organ and brain will not be healthy. Thousands of people die even on a ventilator. Therefore, artificial oxygen can never replace oxyhemoglobin, because oxygen does not circulate freely in the human body. It must be attached to a protein called globin. First thing we have to know about oxygen. If you're not able to attach that oxygen to the globin, in the hemoglobin, you will not be able to carry oxygen to all of your cells. There will be many parts of our body that will not have oxygen. And this is what makes us sick. The cells do not have the energy that they need to keep us healthy. I hope that we're making it plain. I hope we're making it plain and simple for us to understand. Oxygen is so important when it comes to our health. Here's some more details before we take a break. I'm going to give a few more details about this oxygen. To convert hemoglobin to oxyhemoglobin, there must be an enzyme. And you heard me speak about enzyme, brothers and sisters, on this program many times. You have heard me speak about enzyme. Nothing takes place in a human body without an enzyme making it happen. Without enzyme, our body comes to a grinding halt. We must produce digestive enzyme, and we must also produce ancillary enzyme for maintenance and repair of the human body. If all of our enzymes are used up to digest our food and there are no enzymes left over because we are eating food that is indigestible, We're spoiling our enzyme, and we're not able to build an enzyme surplus every single day. Something's going to go lacking in your body, and it's not going to be good. Because we need an enzyme to place oxygen on the hemoglobin in order to produce oxyhemoglobin for our cells to benefit from it. So there's an enzyme that must be produced. If this conversion enzyme is not produced, the amount of oxygen in this cell will be extremely low, brother and sister. It will be extremely low. This is the problem. We have oxygen everywhere, but not in all of our cells. Oxygen must be in all of our 75 trillion cells in order for us to be optimally healthy. Think about that. Just think about that. Our body is composed of 75 to 100 trillion cells, and oxygen must be in every cell. But oxygen is not in every cell, because oxygen is being blocked because we cannot produce the enzyme to attach oxygen to the globin in the hemoglobin. This is what's producing our disease. Because toxin and all those 21 things I named will block that from happening. You will not be able to produce the enzyme to produce oxyhemoglobin. If this ancillary enzyme in question is not produced, the person will sooner or later begin to produce carboxyaminohemoglobin. Carbaminohemoglobin is the protein that is produced when carbon dioxide instead of oxygen is being attached to amino acid in the globin, in that protein. So rather than oxygen being attached, carbon dioxide would be attached. Continue to take place, oxygen and carbon dioxide will be out of balance. You heard us talking about balance. You heard us talking about balance. Carbon dioxide and oxygen must always be in balance in a human body. Carbon dioxide and oxygen must always be in balance. If it is not in balance, you have a problem. Somebody's getting ready to get suffocated. There'll be too many cells without oxygen. And the person will not be able to be optimally healthy. A disease will occur. This is how it happens. Carbaminohemoglobin is the protein that is produced when carbon dioxide instead of oxygen is attaching itself to the amino acid in the globin. That's the protein part of the hemoglobin. Usually this happens when the amount of carbon dioxide is more than the amount of oxygen in the cell. It is the imbalance that makes gas exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide in the air stack increasingly difficult. If gas exchange is becoming increasingly difficult, carbaminohemoglobin will slow down the Krebs cycle, slow down glycolysis in the mitochondria, and thereby causing extreme fatigue of exhaustion, low energy, and shortness of breath. How many people experience low energy? You go up one flight of stairs, and you have shortness of breath. Somebody got to come and carry you up the rest of the stairs. How many of us are counting this? Well, I just gave you the root cause. This is the root cause. Usually, when a person experiences extreme or shortness of breath, or extreme fatigue, or they have a tendency to open the window for fresh air. That's what we want to do. We need to get some fresh air, right? They are given advice to rest. They can rest, but if the enzymatic problem is not resolved, the matter is going to get worse. Sooner or later, other forces like ambulatory force, the force to swing our arm, the pushing force, et cetera, will become also weak. Increase and progressive weakness will cause paralysis in the throat, in the eyes, in the arm, in the bladder, in the leg, and so on and so on and so on. This is how the person eventually become paralyzed. They're wheelchair bound, or they're in the bed. They can't get out of the bed without help, without aid from someone. This is what happened, brothers and sisters. All because of oxygen is not being attached to the hemoglobin. Rather, carbon dioxide is being attached. And since carbon dioxide is being attached, then the carbon dioxide is going to eventually transfer into carbon monoxide. And it will be carbon monoxide that will suffocate the person to death. And I'm sharing with you why oxygen is so important. And I'm sharing with us enzymes, the ability to produce enzymes are so important. There's two parts to an enzyme. The main portion is the protein portion called amino acids. The cofactors are vitamin or mineral. They're cofactors. They come together to produce the enzyme. We must have semi-essential and essential amino acids to get them from our food we eat, especially the essential amino acids. Our body cannot produce them. So we need to know what food to be eating. This is why we have to enforce scientific eating, brothers and sisters. Scientific eating, not chaotic eating, eating what you want to eat, eating what somebody put on your plate and not questioning it, eating what somebody just cooking just to fill up your belly. If you want to be healthy and protect yourself from the virus of being attacked by microbes, you have to take your eating seriously. It is always the food, the water, the beverages, 80 to 90% of the time if you have a disease. That's where it came from. There is no mystery disease. Everything can be explained scientifically. You just have to get the right information. This is what has to happen. So there's a few more details, brothers and sisters, we want to share. We're going to take our final break, and we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Deprita Hadi, and this is my letter to all veterans. Assalamu alaikum. This is Deprita Hadi, Director of CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory, with this important update. As a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, you are one of the most powerful tools to help community development. Our institutions are in need of your time, energy, and expertise to help fulfill the vision. Go to cwsc.us and register today. Your duty awaits your arrival, and we look forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Please join Halal Industry every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Time for an edition of the Halal Industry. Do for self with your host, Imam Wali Bilal, Brian Ali, and Jane Bashir. Their interest is to establish economic freedom for the African-American people and the descendants of slaves here in the United States. This program is to encourage people to unite and build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self. Brothers and sisters, please also join Optimal Health, hosted by Abdul Shaheed, the Certified Symptomatology Health Course on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in live to participate in the program, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253 to listen and participate to your Optimal Health, and Optimal Health is within your reach. Thank you. We thank you for joining us today on Optimal Health, and we hope and pray that you're benefiting from your time spent with us. Okay, we're winding down. If you have questions, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic so you can ask your question or make your comment. We encourage you to ask your question. We've shared much information related to oxygen, and there's more information to share. There's a bottomless pit that we are drawing information from, brothers and sisters, a bottomless pit. We will always be in this mode to learn, to understand how our body operates, how it functions. There's always more to learn. So if you have a question, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue. We'll open your mic, and you'll be able to ask your question, make a comment. And in the meantime, we'll keep going to check the board right quick. We certainly appreciate you joining us today here on Optimal Health. I don't see any hand raised, so we'll continue. So the question is, how can a person have enough oxygen in their cells so they can continue to live on this toxic, predatory, and adversary planet? How can we keep oxygen within our cells? I see a hand. We're going to go to the caller. Caller 678-793, your mic is now open. Please come in, ask your question, or make your comment, and tell us who you are.
How you doing, Abdul? This is Kennard from Atlanta.
Hey, how's it going, Kennard? Thank you for listening and tuning in.
Oh, man. I enjoyed the show. I wanted to ask to clarify the word that you said. Did you say oxyhemoglobin or oxyhemoglobin in the blood?
Okay, let me spell that word.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let me find that word for us that I use.
Okay. I'd also like to spell the other word, too, carbamyl hemoglobin.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Carbamyl hemoglobin. It started with carb, C-A-R-B, and you have amino, which is the protein, A-M-I-N-O. Then hemoglobin, H-E-M-O-G-L-O-B-I-N.
Okay. And oxyhemoglobin.
Okay. Let me find that one right quick. No, I use that word. Okay. Let me take my time to go. Okay. You see the word ox, O-X-Y. And then you have globin at the end. And hemo in the front, H-E-M-O-G-L-O-B-I-N.
Okay,
so that
oxyhemoglobin.
Oxyhemoglobin. You have oxygen, and hemo is iron. Okay?
Right.
That's iron. So we need iron. That's the next part of this we're going to be talking about, iron. How iron also must be present. O-X-Y-H-E-M-O-G-L-O-B-I-N. And the globin is the protein. So it's oxyhemoglobin, so oxygen is attached to the protein. And this is why oxygen does not circulate freely in our body. It has to be attached to a protein in order for it to be transferred into the cells. And the carboxyhemoglobin is the carbon dioxide being attached rather than oxygen.
Yep, makes sense.
Yes. So if carbon dioxide is then attached, then there's going to be a time when the carbon dioxide and oxygen will be out of balance. And the carbon dioxide will be transferred to carbon monoxide. And this is how the person suffocates to death. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yes.
So we have to have a protein attached to the oxygen. Oxygen is just not circulating in our body. We think that's what's going on. That's what we think. That is what's taking place. No, it must be attached to a protein. And it takes the enzyme to produce that attachment, to produce each one of those. It takes the enzyme. If you're not able to produce the enzyme, then you have a carb, amino hemoglobin will be produced. That's what happened. So we're going to, did that answer your question?
Yeah, so you're saying the carbon amino acid, the carbon amino hemoglobin is produced when you don't have the enzyme?
Yes, when you're not able to produce that enzyme.
Okay.
To attach your oxyhemoglobin, yes.
Exactly.
That's where the problem comes
okay.
in. Yes. And then
right.
the problem would be attached to the hemoglobin rather than oxygen. That's the problem.
Okay.
That a lot of people face.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Okay. Press one on your phone, then I'll mute your mic so we can get another caller in. Thank you. I certainly appreciate you listening and appreciate your question.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we have enough time for a couple more questions. If you have a question, please press 1 on your line, and we will bring you into the queue to ask your question or make your comment. Okay. 678-849, we're opening your mic. So give us your name, where you call it from, and you have the floor.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Sister. How are you?
Walaikum assalam. We're doing fine, Sister Abdullah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I have a couple questions.
Yes, ma'am. We hope we can help answer those.
Okay, so my question is about the coronavirus, and they say that the oxygen level goes decreases, and the person is struggling to breathing sometimes when they have the coronavirus and is active and, you know, and they're really sick because some people don't even get symptoms. But I
yes.
think one of the things they say is that the oxygen level goes down when you're really sick. So how do you get the oxygen level up and hopefully render the coronavirus, like, you know, neutralize that or whatever, get better, feel better?
Excellent question. Here's the natural, you want the natural and scientific way to do it, or you just want somebody to treat the symptoms?
Wait, ask that question again. Do I want the scientific way or?
You want the natural and scientific way to correct the problem, or you want somebody just to treat your symptoms?
In the moment, I think I would probably want to just treat my symptoms. But since I'm not in that condition, I would want the scientific way as well.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm going to give you the scientific way because the symptom
okay.
treatment, that means you're not going to the source of the problem. That's why I made that comment. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Yes, I get it.
We want to go
I
to
was
the
just
source.
Saying that. Yeah, okay.
Yes, we want to go to the source of the problem. So if you're attacked by a virus, that means you have some imbalance going on already. That your health is not optimized. You have some underlying disease already. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be addressing the underlying disease. And if you do become attacked by the virus, there's a natural way to address the problem. That we give our body the raw material, and there's a molecule. That molecule is the raw material to help our immune system. We have an immune system for a reason. That immune system is there to fight viruses, microbes, bacteria, fungus, mold, all these things that our body is under attack. We're on a predatory place on Earth, very predatory. Everything is trying to attack us. So you give your, you take this molecule, the molecule will produce ferocious T cells and B cells and interferons. Those are the defense mechanisms that our immune system will produce to neutralize any virus on planet Earth, any. I mean any. And at the same time, the person must observe the health rules. They must avoid all sources of saturated fat because saturated fat is going to block the enzymes from being produced. It's going to block our immune system and all other systems in our body. It's going to slow things down. Our cells need unsaturated fat, not saturated fat. We find saturated fat in milk, in cheese, in dairy products. We find saturated fat in eggs, nuts, and seeds. We find saturated fat in many of the oils that the person is using. Olive oil, coconut butter oil, vegetable oil. We should be cooking with canola oil. That's what we should be cooking with. It has the least amount of saturated fat. And our bodies also are heat-sensitive organisms. So don't drink anything cold. Don't put ice in beverages, ice in water, because ice is carbonic acid. The number one growth factor for the coronavirus is carbonic acid. That is the food it is looking for. If you do not have the growth factor for a virus, they will not attack you. They are searching for food. And if you have free food to give away inside your body, the virus is going to attack you. And your indication would be for the virus is your electromagnetic field. A person who shows a weak electromagnetic field will be compromised, and the virus already knows this. They have little antennae that they're able to send out, and when they detect a weakened electromagnetic field, then that is the person they know that are compromised, and they can attack them. They have their growth factors. So I gave a lot of information. The molecule comes from cytometry, and the molecule is the raw material that the immune system needs to produce an enzyme, and that enzyme is called dehydrogenase. Dehydrogenase will enable our immune system to produce ferocious T cells and B cells and interferon. I said ferocious one, the one that are needed to fight any virus. And that's what your body will produce. Everything we need, we already have it inside our body. We just have to know how it's connected and give ourselves what they need. And they will take care of us and we take care of them. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that answers my question. But now,
okay, now that is
the second part to that, is there something a person can do in the meantime? You know, like if they're caught in that situation and then they have all these symptoms and everything going on.
Get the molecule. I'll get my contact information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It comes from Symptomers. We have the molecule. Call me, send me an email, and this is what we've been doing to help people. This is how people are getting help.
Okay. All right. I'll do that.
You don't need
Thank
that
you.
Other thing that they have, but if you want to take that other thing, you're free to do so. But it's not a cure, and it does not support your immune system. Matter of fact,
speaking
it shuts
of
down
that,
your immune system.
Yeah, it shut down your immune system. But speaking of the other thing, they say it caused spike protein. And you were just talking about
yes.
oxygen and protein binding together
yes.
is what we needed. So what does that spike protein do? It's creating protein, but it doesn't sound healthy to me.
No, you don't need it. We already explained what happened with oxygen. That virus goes straight to the lung cell. Why does it go straight to the lung cell? Because that's where the gas exchange is taking place. And you can't
mm-hmm.
do it, it already knows that you're compromised. So it attaches mm-hmm. itself there to the cells. And the virus cannot divide on its own. It has to hijack your cells. So what the best cell to hijack would be the lung cell. And they take the mm-hmm. cell machinery and use them as their own to multiply themselves. To come up and produce little viruses running around inside of you. This is what happens. They hijack the cell machinery in you, in your lungs, because the gas exchange, that's where it takes place. And they shut down the ability for you to produce oxyhemoglobin. So the person cannot breathe, and the person now is producing more carbon dioxide in them, and the carbon dioxide transfers into carbon monoxide to kill the person. You can be on a respirator, a ventilator, but your organs will still not have the oxygen that they need. Because I just explained to you, it is oxyhemoglobin mm-hmm. that the organ must have. Not oxygen coming from the respirator, ventilator, or oxygen tank, man-made.
Right. Thank you so much.
So if the person has problems, contact us. You already know how to do that.
All righty. Thank you.
We can put them in the right direction, okay? Thank you.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure hearing from you. Press one on your line, and we can see if we can get one more question in. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to check the board one more time before we depart and see if there are any other hands raised. Well, I don't see any other hand raised. It looks like we're going to have a part three to this conversation about oxygen and how the Creator created us. And we have to just get the right information and to get the right knowledge. A person who maintained a habit of taking the right kind of ore and using ferric iron, that's iron-rich blood. We must use the right iron. There's a difference between ferrous iron and ferric iron. Ferrous iron has two atoms of oxygen when we need ferric iron with three atoms of oxygen. We got to know the difference. We got to learn the science. Otherwise, somebody be putting something on us, and this is our problem. We'll be taken advantage of. So I'm not going to say any more about that. So we're going to keep putting the signs out there. And next week, we're going to continue to talk about what has to happen to the oxygen to sustain it within the cell, to hold it within the cell, so we can create the force, the energy that the cells need to keep us healthy and to reverse our condition. We're going to talk more about that, God willing, on our next episode. It has been indeed our honor to be with you today. And we are flat out of time, brothers and sisters. We'd like to give our contact information for those people who want to contact us. You may reach us through our cell at 678-572-7269. That number is 678-572-7269. You also may reach us through email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-H-E-E-D. And I also want to direct you to a website at the American School of Symptometry to get more information on what we've been sharing today. The website is amsos.org. Again, amsos.org. And here's a quote for us to end our program on today. And we certainly thank you for being with us. And here's a quote. The more oxygen and sulfur from natural sources a person gets, the stronger the forces in their being will be. If the positive force is strong, the negative force will be weak. Health is restored when the positive forces in a person are strong and the negative forces is weak. And the negative force is weak. And it remains weak. In the world of forces, the stronger force wins. And the weaker force loses. A disease is cured when the weaker force loses and it cannot regain its strength to win again. Dr. Maxwell Norton, the founder of the American School of Symptometry and the founder and inventor of symptometry, symptom matrix science. It has indeed been our honor to be with you today. This is Abdul Shaheed, your certified symptometrist, and this has been Optimal Health. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.